Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo Didalulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And Alex, the schedules for the last week have been tough for both of us.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on, Angelo? Yeah, schedule didn't really allow us to do a show last week because I had company events. You were on a very rough schedule in terms of, like, the times that you get off. You were getting off at, like, what? 1 a.m. my time, so
pretty
that's
sure, yeah.
Never going to work. And yeah, the off day, we really couldn't get a time on Friday. So we just couldn't really do it. We tracked our picks, though, so that's something. And the results tell us that thank God we didn't do an episode. So we would have lost you guys money.
That we suck it.
We were really bad this past week, so... Yeah, thank God.
I guess I really need that time to think and not just go off my instincts. You know?
Yeah,
and apparently, what I learned is Will Levis is very good when I watch him. So I just need to have every Sunday off, and Will Levis will be the best quarterback ever.
I'm not entirely certain if he's very good, because he did throw pick six and he did get sacked like seven times, or if he was just playing a very bad QB though. But I think it's.
Oh my God! Stop this.
Hey, we need to start having a chat about is Stroud starting to regress? Because, oh boy, now that some adversity has kicked in, I'm starting to see some issues. Like, the O-line is creating issues for them.
Adversity.
I mean, it is. Like, the O-line is getting rough. It's missing Diggs right now. I don't know, man. It looked rough out there. Like, he was making some boneheaded mistakes, and he was regressing quite a bit right now. Like, versus a team that allowed, like, seven sacks, and a QB you throw, like, a pick six. I don't know. Then he gets sacked for a safety to lose the game. I don't know if Stroud is all that. You're still in the Stroud bandwagon, I would assume.
Of course. I'm his number one fan.
Okay. I guess the wheels won't take long to fall off. No? So.
This guy. I did get mercy, though. I did. And the Houston Texans did it perfectly, by the way. I did get the mercy of not watching the Bengals, like, give up 30 points and then lose. But it's okay because the Texans got me. The Texans fucking gave the 30 points and lost when it looked like they were going to win. So, hey, that's who won the Bengals. I said the Bengals award of giving up a bunch, losing because you gave up a bunch of points. Tell me it's not the Houston Texans after giving up 32 to the Tennessee fucking Titans. Go ahead, tell me.
It looks like that, yeah. I mean, secondary looks rough. They look rough on offense. Everything looks rough right now with the Texans. They are the biggest pretenders out there right now.
The biggest pretenders?
And I would say so. The NFL darling, it's turning back into a pumpkin. I'm enjoying it, though. That gives a chance to the best QB in the AFC South.
What happened to Jaden Daniels?
That's very interesting. You know, there was like this weird graphic circulating about the dip that and this was popping up last week on my feed. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but there was like a graphic circulating about how Cliff Kingsbury's offenses tend to decline quite a bit after like November or around November. They
Gotcha.
really take a peak. They really take a dive, and they become really inefficient and just doesn't really work out all that well. And it seems like it's happening again. Like the offense looks discombobulated. Like Terry isn't really clicking. I mean, you look at the final stat line for Terry, and it looks okay, but he had like an 80-yard touchdown late in the game for like almost as an Hail Mary, but like a short play that he took to the house basically in the last what minute and 30 of the game. So yeah, you look at all of that and it's weird. Like I don't even think it's a lock that he's Rookie of the Year right now. I think like Bo Nix has been making a very strong case. You look at the stats, like Bo Nix is well positioned right now to win Rookie of the Year.
What is he now?
I believe the odds went from like plus 800 or plus 600 last week, and right now it's plus 100 for Bo Nix.
Mean,
Yeah.
Bo Nix has been getting better every week. That is true.
I do feel like Denver eventually is going to hit like a wall in which like it seems like they are getting away with a lot of easy stuff versus a lot of easy competition. And eventually they're going to hit that wall in which like we see Denver and it's just like, whoa, what is this team? Like they can't do anything. And I feel like that's going to come. I don't know when because their schedule has been quite easy so far. At least like this stretch in which he has looked good. I'm not taking anything away from him because he has really improved and he has really shown a lot. And as they're developing weapons, like Marvin Mims right now is another weapon that is working fairly well and gives another dimension to this offense. And Vele is also working very well under this Denver Broncos offense. But it just feels like something is going on here. And as we're speaking about the Broncos, they have waived tight end Greg Dulcich. Remember when Dulcich was a thing?
I do. I do. I do. That's sad. Oh man. He tested really good too. I'm not gonna lie. You were on his bandwagon for a while.
I was, but I was more on the bandwagon of the backup, if you remember. Like Albert Okwuegbunam.
Alberto, yeah, I remember
Yeah.
Alberto.
Alberto was the name that I really liked for quite a bit. I remember like offering up to like Austin and wherever, and I just read your comments like, who the fuck is Alberto, man? And I was like, trust me, this guy's going to be decent. I mean, he had a stretch in there in which he looked okay, but it was very short-lived. But I remember using him in Madden. Especially like when it was like when you were importing draft classes from future years, he used to be a beast for me. I remember really liking him, and I really like Lil Jordan Humphrey
Logic.
that I
Oh my
drafted.
God.
I drafted him as well in Madden. I don't know if it was like 19 in which I imported a class and he was in there. He developed into a nice tight end for me. I flipped him to a tight end, and so those are just guys that I have like weird soft spots for.
You're crazy.
Yeah,
Okay, I've done it too. I've done it too. I did it with Terrace Marshall.
that one is never going to work out.
Yeah, I know. I need to have a movie for getting Terrace Marshall.
Oh, buddy. Okay.
It happened eventually. I was on the LSU wide receivers, and it happened. Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. They finally did it. They finally broke the curse. They
Yeah.
did it.
You were
Did
just
it,
kind
buddy?
of a dollar short and a day late.
No, I got Malik Nabers and I got Brian Thomas Jr. in a few leagues, so I was looking pretty, man.
Did you get that many like Brian Thomas Jr.?
As much as I wanted, no.
Oh, okay. I almost pulled a trade for him. in the Manning Face League.
Did you?
I almost did.
Was it?
There was like a trade. That dude that is double F, double G.
Yep.
He was floating around the idea of trading me, Brian Thomas Jr., for Darnell Mooney and David Montgomery. I was okay with it, but since he didn't know if he would make the playoffs, he didn't pull that trigger. So now instead of pulling the trigger and potentially making the playoffs, he got schlepped by me. And
wait, when was this? When was this deal offered?
We talked about it like during the week, like late last week and early this week.
Then I need to DM him, and I need to get myself some Brian Thomas Jr. in my life.
Well, this is like the trade deadline, and he was basically like, "I'm only doing this because I think I'm going to make the playoffs." And then he had some extra thinking about that, and he figured that he maybe wouldn't make it into the playoffs, or at least wasn't guaranteed. So he didn't want to like sell a bit cheaper on Brian Thomas Jr.
I'll offer him a good deal. Don't worry, buddy.
Hey, he lost right now. He might be 12-12 after this week is over. That's just going to put more uncertainty on him. So I'm not entirely certain if he's going to pull any triggers right now.
We'll see, buddy. We'll see.
Okay. So why are we here today, Angelo?
Because we suck. Go on.
So we're here today to actually make some picks. We're hoping for a bounce back. So this past week I went 4-8. Angela went 5-7, although on the app it doesn't say so because we forgot to make the picks for Thursday Night Football. We made the picks in the chat. When I was going to make the pick, I fell asleep like 2 hours prior to the game because I was exhausted. And when I woke up, it's like none of us made the picks. So that's great. But that just means I have to track this one game away from all of that.
You lost again on Thursday. Congratulations, buddy.
Again. Congratulations. Again. For the recap for week 11, though, I won. Just want to say that I went 8-6. That's the week that we didn't recap. He went 7-7. So I got a win there. But this week it looks like I might lose unless the Ravens cover. So if the Ravens cover, I'm on the Ravens. Angelo's on the Chargers. So maybe this one is tied. But right now it's 4-8 for me, 5-7 for Angelo. And that puts the overall numbers at Angelo is sitting at a nice and pretty 94-97.
I don't like those numbers. That's not nice and pretty for me.
Wait, no, you're 95-96. Yeah, still 95-96. You're sitting at 95-96. I'm sitting at an 85-107. No, 106. 85-106.
You can't take that to the prom, Alex. You definitely cannot take that to the prom.
I cannot. But we're improving.
If you say so.
We're at least making ground, hopefully. If this one ends tied, I've made 2 games. So that's something.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I just want to finish 500 this year.
You're very close. You're like a game behind 500.
Yeah. I still got like 5 weeks, though. 6 weeks. So anything could happen. Anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
Oh,
okay.
Except Alex coming back. That is not.
Hey, we'll see. Crazier things have happened. I'm sure. Like somewhere.
Okay.
Okay, so this week we have Thursday Night Football. We have, Black Friday? Yeah, but we have Black Friday football as well. So we have like 4 games prior to Sunday. So that's fun. Then we have the primetime games. It's only one Sunday night football. Only one Monday night football. So we have effectively 6 primetime games. Which, okay. We can go with it. Oh. And the Thanksgiving specials are some of them are really good, man. I'll tell you right now. But we'll start with the first game on Thursday night football.
One of them is really atrocious right now.
Yeah. For sure. But the first one, it's the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. The Lions are 10.5 point favorites right now. They are playing at home. The Chicago Bears, since firing their OC, Shane Waldron, got good riddance. They've looked fairly good. Like, they lost a game versus the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, like, they lost a game versus the Green Bay Packers on a blocked field goal, which is just like, okay. Then they got another field goal block this week versus the Vikings, which, okay, let's have it. And then they lost in overtime versus the Vikings in the end because of a Caleb Williams mistake in the end because he held on to the ball too much. But overall, they have looked better at offense. They have simplified things, shorter passes, running the ball a bit more. The offensive line looks to be holding up a bit more as well. So it just looks like they're finally giving him something here to work with. It's not like super complicated things that he needs to work out every single snap. It's just fairly simple stuff. Get the ball off his hands quickly and just go with that. So I'm liking what I'm seeing right here. The Lions just keep on churning along and just like basically killing everyone in front of them. So that's always fun. But I think 10.5 versus in division, like if you look at last week, at last year, the Packers had the Lions beat on both games. It was a very close game in both games. So like 10.5, I kind of like the Bears here. I think like they do enough to cover this number. They'll play them close.
So now here's the question. It is Thanksgiving, but is Alex's Thursday curse getting extended? There's 3 games now for Alex to potentially get wrong instead of just the normal one.
All 3 wrong, though.
Are you getting all 3 wrong? Are you getting all 3 right? What's going to happen? That's the question. I actually completely agree with your side. That said, I'm getting NOM flashbacks from like agreeing with you on Thursday night football. Because I think you're right. That said, Detroit looks absolutely unstoppable. Like, I don't know if we've done power, but like when we do power rankings next, Detroit's number one for me. They look crazy. Yeah. You know what? I have no problem picking against Alex, especially with Detroit being this red hot. Give me Detroit. Fuck you, Alex.
Okay, I got it. They are probably going to be number one as well for me when we do the power rankings. But you'll have to check out if that's true or not, because we still have one game this week, and it's the Baltimore Ravens, and I do like the Ravens quite a bit. So you'll have to wait and see for next episode that is dropping on Saturday.
I think I've readopted the Chargers.
You've readopted. I mean, they are at least good now, so yeah. I'll give you that.
So this is probably going to be the worst game of the week, the Giants at the Cowboys. I honestly think this should be swapped out. Like, if this was Bengals-Steelers, I think this would be like a perfect Thursday night slate. Or even if you want to, well, not all the games are in division anyway. Packers-Dolphins isn't in division. I was going to say, if you wanted to stay in division, you could have gone, God.
I rather watch the Raiders than the Chiefs.
Then, yeah, same. But that's the Black Friday game. Man. Like, I have the sneaky suspicion that it's national football. So, Cooper Rush is coming off, if I'm not mistaken, 2 really solid games. Like, really, really solid games.
Well, let's... I'm not sure if I would call whatever happened versus the Texans a solid game. Or wasn't it versus... No, versus the Eagles. I wouldn't call like 45
yards. Oh, yeah, they got their ass kicked, but I mean, he still threw for 350 yards. He still was performing better than the fucking 89-yard catastrophe that was his season debut.
Oh, okay, but, so it was the Texans last week. Okay, I'm not crazy. Yeah, no, he faced the Eagles, in which he threw for 35 yards. Then he faced the Texans, in which they got schlepped. And they lost by like 24 points. He did put up like 354.
Yeah. But okay,
it is versus the Texans, though. So you kind of okay.
This guy.
And he beat the Commanders, like in a very weird game that we'll talk about at length Saturday.
So my instincts are telling me the Giants are the go-to here. I don't know why, but I feel like the Cowboys have this kind of like false hope attached to them. And I think that we're about to see the classic primetime Cowboys flounder. I'm going to go with the Giants here. I'm going to trust my instincts. I think Malik Nabers can score enough points to beat the Cowboys. Cooper Rush has a bad game. It's more than possible.
I think I'm going to lean exactly as you did. Like I still can't trust Cooper Rush. I'm not sure if I like being on the same side as Tommy Cutlets, but I guess it's questionable. Okay, so I guess Drew Lock would give me a bit more hope. But the Tommy Cutlet thing—that is just great. And plus, Dayball has really lost the locker room. I don't know. I kind of want to flip, but I really hate the Cowboys. But at this point,
just let me flip, and then I'll have.
No, I'll flip. Mm-hmm. I'll take the Cowboys -2.5. Okay. I'll just go with the team that I think the coach hasn't like 100% lost the locker room. I think he's just like lost it by like 85%. So I'll take the Cowboys -2.5. It's not even a field goal, which I'm guessing it's probably going to be by tomorrow when the lines close. So I'm going to get fucked on this one. I can already feel it. Because when it closes, it's going to be 3.5. And the Cowboys are going to win by like 3. And I'm fucked. So yeah, that's just going to be great. But give me the Cowboys -2.5. I'll go with the coach that hasn't lost the entire locker room. He still has like Kevontae Turpin playing for him. Okay, the Miami Dolphins at the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are 3.5-point favorites. Everyone and their mama is going to bet on Green Bay. Like, it's cold. It's a primetime game. It's Miami versus a team with a winning record. It's Jordan Love looking just... I'm not going to say great, because there's still like a lot of things about Jordan Love, which I'm left just wondering why you're doing this.
It's also Miami going into Wisconsin in
yeah, it's the late cold, November. Man. Late November. Like, it's going to be cold as fuck. Tua playing in the cold. But something is telling me that is too obvious. That is like, this is the spot in which Miami loses by 30. So why is the line 3.5? Why isn't the line like 6.5 when they just beat like everyone's favorite current dark horse to make the playoffs? Like, it's the team that is going to turn it around eventually because Kyle Shanahan, and you have to like just suck your dick at every opportunity that you got. The Niners, and they just beat the Niners by like a gazillion points. So it's like, why isn't this line like 6.5, for example? Just intriguing. Like, they're telling you that these teams in a neutral field, it's like the Packers are one. Yeah, it's a pick'em. It's like the Packers by a point, basically. All of this just tells me that this is probably a trap line. I'm going to go with Miami +3.5. Plus, I like what Miami has been doing recently. Like, Tua has been playing very well the past two games. I hope it continues. And like, the Packers, I think they make a few dumb plays every single game. Uncalled and forced errors.
They do.
So, gonna go with Miami.
Jordan Love is definitely closer to Brett Favre than Aaron Rodgers. That's for damn sure.
Like, I remember seeing this play this past week in which he throws a deep, pretty ball to Christian Watson, and Watson just drops it. Like, the ball hits him in his hand, and he drops it. And it's like, I believe then it's 2nd and 10. They are like, what? They're like 5 yards or 8 yards away from field goal range. And he drops back. He just throws another deep ball, this time to, like, I don't know, like Romeo Doubs or something. And the ball is overthrown. And then on 3rd and 10, it's like, okay, just get the 8 yards and kick the fucking field goal just to be, like, up 2 scores or something like that. He drops back and he throws another deep bomb. It's like he's trying to chase the one that he lost at the first time. And it's just like, you don't really need to do that. You're already up. Just get the points. Be up by 2 scores and just let it go. It feels like there's something in there that needs to be tuned. They leave by those big plays. And I feel like that's going to fuck them eventually. So give me Miami +3.5.
I will take the easy Green Bay.
That's technically Thursday Night Football. So that's the one game.
One of us is going to be at least 2-1.
For sure. Because that one is the one. At least one of us is going to get
Las Vegas at Kansas City. Oh, man. Kansas City is favored 13.5 points. Oh, buddy. Friday. Oh, this is technical. This is okay. This is the game that Alex is going to predict wrong. Got it. This is the Amazon game. This is technically the quote unquote Thursday night game.
Well, no, there's literally a Thursday night game. There's a game happening Thursday night.
Right, but what is Thursday night football presented by?
Amazon.
There you go. This is the game that Alex is going to predict wrong.
And you have the first say. So I really can fuck us both up.
I'm taking Las Vegas. I think 13.5 is just way too many points for like Kansas City, they lost, then they got their revenge game. Now the steam's about to come down.
Wait. What revenge game did they get? Is like beating Carolina by 3 points in a sweaty game a revenge game? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Right, if that's what we're saying, then Kansas City's down bad, buddy. I kind of want to go with KC. Just feel like this is the true, like, blow everything up game. And they just, like, they beat the Raiders by 50. Raiders led by AOC this week, and like the whole Kermit the Frog thing comes back up, and it's the true Mahomes revenge. But I feel like I had that same narrative versus Carolina, where this is the game in which like their eyes are now.
It looked like they were going to kick Carolina's ass at the start.
Yeah, man, they just fell asleep. I want to say that this game goes a bit like that one, but they don't fall asleep, and it's just like full gas until the end because it is a divisional game and because it is the Raiders. So I guess give me KC -13.5. But I really should have gone with you. Just so I could fuck both of us.
Yeah, just so you could fuck both of us, exactly. But nope, you were the nice guy. So now you're probably going to get it right.
Let's see how it goes.
The gods will shine bright upon you.
Okay, now this one is interesting because the Chargers.
Let me just say the audience kind of did get hosed by us not having a show last week. They missed what would have been the Bengals Chargers rant. They missed the Caleb rant. They just missed everything. They missed everything.
The Anthony Richardson victory lamp.
Yep. They missed everything.
I guess we're going to talk about it a bit on Saturday. So if you want to hear all about that.
That's going to be a long Saturday, friend.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a long show. I'll guess. So let's try and cram that in there. Talk about as much as possible there. because we have a few things missing. So we're pulling overtime. Okay. This one is interesting because the Chargers haven't played yet.
Yep.
And depending on how this goes, I can see the line flip either way.
Even after they beat the Ravens?
I don't think they will beat the Ravens. I actually think, like, and this is maybe a hot take, this is one of those games in which I would take the Ravens outline because I think, like, they beat the Chargers today by over 10 points.
That's fake news.
We'll see. We'll see. In like 2 hours, we should know. But all of this to say, like, this game, it's the Chargers at the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are 1.5 point underdogs right here. I feel like if the Chargers win this convincingly, this line probably goes, 3.5? And if they lose, it's probably Atlanta by 3.5. If they lose how I think they will lose, it's probably going to be Atlanta at the 3.5. So I think I'm going to go with Atlanta plus 1.5, purely because of that. Purely because I think the line is going to shift in the direction of Atlanta. So Atlanta is going to be favorite by the time this closes and after Thursday Night Football. So yeah, give me Atlanta plus 1.5. Off a bye, rested. The Chargers are off a short week as well.
You're making some solid cases. You're making some solid arguments.
And it's a big travel, isn't it? From like LA to Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah, that is across the country. Across the country.
Short week, no rest.
But you know what? I'm going to let them hurt me. Give me the Chargers. Give me the goddamn Chargers.
I think you're about to let the Chargers hurt you twice in a row.
Twice in a row. Without knowing a single result.
Nope.
Alex, we need to talk about this line. What's up?
I don't know, man. Like,
so let me get this straight.
No. Angelo wants to get this straight because he's looking at a line right now. And Cincinnati is minus 2.5 point favorites versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're playing at Cincinnati. They're off a bye week. But Pittsburgh, I mean, Pittsburgh has a long week here as well. Like, they have extra rest. They played on Thursday Night Football. And they have looked, for the most part, especially on defense, they have looked quite interesting. They have looked quite amazing. Since Russ took over, I mean, this team is firing at all cylinders. Now, they did lose versus the Cleveland Browns, but it was a snow game. And it was one of those games in which I feel like, sort of have to agree with George Pickens, the Cleveland Browns were kind of lucky in that game, I would say. Is this what you were thinking there?
No, the Bengals, who just came off giving up 34 points to the goddamn Chargers, are now favored in Cincinnati against one of the top defenses in the NFL. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this line?
And although Cincinnati, like, is off, like, a bye,
have the people Pittsburgh who has not watched the Bengals this year.
It feels a bit like the like the Jets in past weeks, in which, like, they keep losing, but they're still favorite in every single game. And it's a bit like you guys here, like, you keep losing games, but you're always the favorite for some reason.
No, this is stupid. Give me the Steelers. This is a stupid line. This is a stupid, stupid line.
And this is a very stupid line. Give me the Bengals.
What?
I agree with everything. And it's like, Pittsburgh it's like they have extra rest. They also play on Thursday. They played on Thursday Night Football, so it's not like they're a team playing with normal rest. No, they've rested a bit more here. I just feel like Cincinnati, this is their do or die moment. Like, this is the game that they need to win. This is a
They
divisional
died
game.
already, Alex. They're dead. It's
But they're
over.
not dead. They're
They're
not dead.
dead.
Like, if they
Stop it.
win this game, they're 5-7, and they got a divisional win. If they
They're
lose this
dead.
game, it's 4-8, it's over. Like, you're not making the playoffs. If they're 5-7, you have a fighting chance.
They're
I feel
dead.
like this is a game where T. Higgins comes back healthy,
Let us die.
Burrow's back.
We already came.
No.
He already came back healthy.
No, he didn't came back healthy, quote unquote. Like, now he has had extra time to rest. I don't know. I feel like this is the game where your y'all's back are against the wall, and it's time for Burrow to shine. And I feel like this is going to be a very interesting game and very entertaining game.
Burrow has been showing every week. Burrow has 2 5 touchdown games in which we've lost. What are you talking about? What exactly more can this motherfucker do to scratch and crawl this sad, sorry, pathetic ass defense to a win? So you're telling me
Bruce,
you have to see
switch
it? You're
downs.
telling me you have to see us give up 30 points to Russell Wilson and the goddamn Steelers? You just have to
Yes.
see it.
This is the last time that I'll trust you guys. You failed me in a few situations. This is it. This is do or die for me.
You just have to see it one more time, okay?
One
I've
more
seen
time.
enough. I don't want to watch it anymore. I fucking praised the fact we were on the bye. I'm tired. I'm tired, Alex. I don't want to watch anymore. I don't want to see it anymore.
I know it's hard to be like the team that is not in first place. Like, I couldn't relate actually, because we're actually at top of our division, and like it's hard for me to relate with the type of peasantry going around with the Bengals. But I do feel for you guys, and I do like you. So I think I'm going to risk it
If you
one
feel
more
for us,
time.
why let our season be fucking over, Alex?
This is not Old Yeller yet. You're not being taken to the back and shot in the head. I feel like this is this is it. This is the time that you turn your season around. Because if you go and finish the season like what, 10-7, you're probably making the playoffs.
So let me get this straight. You think that the team that has pretty much given up 30 points to every team that we face, not named the goddamn Browns, who was in delusion into thinking that Jameis Winston wasn't their best fucking quarterback in the building, you think that team is going to win? Let's see, the 6 straight games, two of which against one of, if not the best defense in the NFL. And then it's just going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Feel like that's what I think, yeah.
Okay. Whatever,
That's
man.
hey, if you guys lose this game, I'm probably done.
Whatever, man.
I have to experience it one more time.
The other 7 times wasn't good enough.
No.
Oh,
Eight is the chart. Is the charm.
let me check some of these games. Let me. I fucking like. I've Cincinnati Bengals. I've like blocked off all of these games of my memory, as if I didn't see it. Let's see. Hold on.
I know it's the Ravens
Let's
twice
see some
and
of
the
these
Chargers.
games. Let's see. Hold on. Let's go back to all the way back to week one. Okay. 16 to 38 points against the Commanders. We decided to give up 24 points against the Panthers. 41 against the Ravens. 37 against the. Then 35 against the Eagles. Then 34 against. Alex, in the last... Hold on, I gotta do this math. Oh my god, this is so bad. Math. You did not pay the math budget today. Wait, no, I underestimated how many the Chargers scored. In the last 4 weeks, not half the season, not for the season, in the last 4 weeks, that's what, less than a quarter of the season?
Yes, that is correct.
130 points.
I just want to check.
130 points.
I just want to check something, which is...
What do you want to check?
Wear that alone.
It's 32.5 points a game, Alex. What do you want to know? Where does that rank?
How many points did you allow again?
32.5 a game.
In total.
130.
Okay, so you in four games have allowed 13 points less than the Chargers have allowed in 10 games played.
Great.
The Chargers in 10 games have allowed 14.3 points. 143 points. So, you have basically allowed the same points as the Chargers, but in like, what, six less games. Good stuff.
You think this has hope?
I have to believe it.
You can't just let good enough just die.
No. I still have a glimmer of hope. For you guys.
What will you do if we give up 37 points against the Steelers?
Well, not bet you would be a start. Not bet on your team would very much be the one thing that I wouldn't do, that I would do anymore. That's basically it. We'll go from there.
You're up next, Alex. Go ahead.
Okay. This one is just great. Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags are 5.5-point underdogs coming off a bye, probably starting Mac Jones versus the fraudulent ass CJ Stroud with the Texans. Can I pick neither? Can this game just like not happen?
I'm sure the Cowboys and Giants wish the same thing.
Yeah, I wish both of those games didn't happen. I guess I will just take... I'll take the team off a bye. Give me the plus 5.5. Yeah, I hate this pick. Like, this one is most definitely not hitting. But I can't in good conscience pick the Texans to cover, like, numbers in general. Like, I'm not even going to say by margin. I'm just going to say, like, cover numbers when they're favorites. Because, like, this team is a train wreck waiting to happen. So, what happens when two train wrecks go against each other? Because we're about to see that. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm going to be doing. Just watch as it unfolds.
I'm going with the frauds, man. You mean the Texans?
So, I was going to ask which side you were picking, since both are frauds.
You couldn't tell by I'm going with the frauds?
No, because they're both frauds. Remember when people actually thought the Jacksonville Jaguars were good to start the season?
I was one of them.
Yeah. I wasn't.
I learned really fast. Oh, no. All right. The Arizona Cardinals at the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings are favored by 3.5 points. Again, I think Arizona is just a nightmare when you're betting because they have games where they look like they should be last in the division, and they have games where they look like they should be first in the division. and you never know what you're going to get. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and I think I figured out how to pick them. All right. So we'll see. We'll see.
I'm going Minnesota.
I think I figured it out. That is,
give me it.
Like when they go, and they have a very iffy game in which like you've sort of lost hope in them, you pick them the week after. So like you watch them versus Seattle. I believe they had only two runs with any sort of success rate. And it was the two runs by Troy Benson. Every run that James Conner had, it had 0% success rate. And if I'm not mistaken, he went and ran for 1 yard per carry versus a Seattle team and defense in this case that has been very susceptible to the run. Now, we did swap up the linebackers, the inside linebackers, and I do think like that has had a lot of success so far. But it's still like it was a game in which people really expected Arizona to sort of cruise and beat us after we beat the Niners. But it was a fairly like weird win in which like we looked like we were trailing the entirety of the game and then we got the win very late. So it didn't feel like super deserved. And now like everyone has lost hope. But Carolina looked terrible on Arizona. Arizona looked terrible versus Seattle. So I think this is the spot in which you go and you take the Cardinals +3.5, which I think will be a fairly close game. I feel like Minnesota is going to win, but I like Arizona's chances. So give me Arizona +3.5. I feel like this is a big game for Marvin Harrison Jr. Because if there's one thing the Minnesota for Marv. Because if there's one thing that Minnesota can't do, it's cover number one wide receivers. So I feel like this
thank
is...
Thank God Marvin Harrison Jr. is the number one wide receiver.
Stop it. Who is what? Malik Nabers? Is that it right now?
Malik Nabers is the number one wide receiver on the Giants, yes. But the number one wide receiver on the Cardinals isn't Marvin Harrison Jr.
Who is
it's
it?
Trey then? McBride.
A tight end.
The tight end, yes.
Okay, if you say so. I'm not even going to argue with you. We'll see.
You know
we'll
I'm
see
right.
What happens.
Of course you're not going to argue. I'm right. What's there to argue against?
They have different roles. But hey, as a Trey McBride owner in a league that has money in it, I'm loving it.
Yeah, because you have the actual number one pass catcher in Arizona.
Pass catcher, you were smart. Not wide receiver. That's like the whole point.
Yeah. Number one pass catcher is more important than the number one wide receiver.
All my point was, it's the number one wide receiver for them. It's not the number one pass catcher. Like, the statistic is, they are not
but when you
great.
Say when you say this team struggles against number one wide receiver, you don't literally mean the number one wide receiver on the team. You mean the best pass catcher on the team.
No, because then I'm talking about a different matchup. I'm talking about linebackers versus tight ends. I'm not speaking of cornerbacks versus wide receivers, which is where they struggle. It's cornerbacks on the number one wide receiver on the team. A cornerback is not going to be covering Trey McBride. Otherwise, Trey McBride is getting 20 catches for 250 yards. Okay?
They pretty much did that last week, so I mean, what's your point?
They didn't cover him with a cornerback. We just like can't really cover tight ends. That's like the issue here.
Right. Anyway, Marvin Harrison Jr. hate aside.
It's Cardinals +3.5 for me. And that means I'm picking my guy. It's Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots. Oh, the Patriots are 2.5-point underdogs. Just give me Anthony Richardson all day long. Even though, like, he has no supporting cast, apparently, in terms of, like, O-line or running back. Yeah. And now Josh Downs is hurt as well. I feel like he can solve this. I've been liking what I'm seeing from him. He looks a bit more mature. It looks like he's making better plays at times.
Yeah, I'm going with the Patriots.
Great.
Wait, what did I say?
That you're going with the Patriots.
Yep.
Like Drake May is a riddle for me because there's so much hype about this dude. And like I've watched the entirety almost.
You're welcome, Alex.
Fuck and him. I like him. I like him as well. But it's like I watched that Miami Dolphins game. And I'm told, like, he should be in the run for Rookie of the Year and whatnot. And he was super pedestrian for most of that game. But then he had, like, that one play in which he managed to evade every single pressure around him. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the one in which he threw the touchdown pass. So, like, that's enough to bring back the Rookie of the Year talks. But if you watch the entirety of the game, he looks very pedestrian at times. But he has that one well play at times, so... That covers for it. I still like Anthony Richardson, though. Give me the Richardson. Give me the Colts. The Colts are still apparently alive for the division, so.
Oh, God. The 6-5 Seahawks are 1.5-point favorites against the 3-8 Jets. Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback?
Apparently so, but... It appears as if Woody Johnson doesn't really want that to be the thing, but he hasn't wanted that to be the thing for, like, what, since? That report was super weird. Like, the first thought that I had when I saw it, which was, like, after the Broncos game, Woody Johnson thought that Aaron Rodgers should be fired, should be banned.
I mean, he is the GM, so yeah.
He is, I guess, right now he is the GM. but he should be benched because he wasn't playing up to the standard. And that feels very much like you're trying to save face at this moment. It's just like, you've seen that this has hit the shit has hit the fan, and it's time to pull the plug on this, and now you're trying to save face. It feels like that. But yeah, Rodgers should still be the starter. Apparently, he is. Both sides are trying to save face because now it's Rodgers is hurt. He's not even doing MRIs or anything like that to try and assess the damage that he has. So it feels
he'll
like
be the Browns starting quarterback next year for sure.
He's going to start somewhere, and he's going to use the excuse that he was hurt. He isn't washed. He just was hurt for all of the season. So you heard it here first.
Be the Browns starter next year. All right, give me the Seahawks.
Easy enough. Seahawks -1.5. We're losing this game, but I have hope. This is the typical game that we lose. So I have no faith, but I'm picking the Seahawks -1.5. Okay, next up, it's the Tennessee Titans at the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are 5.5-point favorites. After a very good start, they're now sitting at 7-5 after losses versus the Eagles and now versus the Cowboys this past week.
Yep,
it's been rough. The offense has looked rough. Yeah, offense has looked rough at times. I don't know if they'll have Brian Robinson back. I know that they won't have Austin Ekeler back because Austin Ekeler was laid out with a massive hit in which he was just laying on the ground, nearly drooling over himself. So that was a rough watch. All of that said, though, again, it just goes a bit like this. Will Levis has potential, or whatever you want to say that he does. He's going to get sacked a bunch of times and he's going to throw a pick six. So you're effectively going to need to throw like... The Washington Commanders are actually like 2.5-point underdogs due to that touchdown that is like automatically added to the Commanders. So just give me the Commanders -5.5. You will never see me trust Will Levis.
You in a know game in which... what happens on Sunday?
What?
I am off on Sunday, Alex. Give me the Titans.
So you're not watching the Bengals, is what you're saying.
Why the fuck would I want to watch that?
Hey, I think you'll be surprised.
Like, I've gotten the pain for 11 weeks now, Alex. I don't need any more pain. It's all good. I've been stabbed in the heart enough times.
I just want to point out that we're saying that 278, two touchdowns, one pick six, and being sacked eight times is a good game. This is the standard right now. So this is what Angelo has watched and has said that this is a good game.
No, okay. I'm not saying it's a good game. I'm saying I don't have as much emotional attachment to the Titans as I do the fucking Bengals. I don't want to watch the Bengals give up another 30 goddamn points to an inefficient offense.
You told me that that you watched the Will Levis game and he played well because of that. And now you're saying again that you're going to watch the Titans. So he's going to play well again. I'm just saying that 278 yards being sacked. Eight times throwing a pick six and two touchdowns.
He's gonna do it, man. He's gonna show you. He's gonna show you, man. You're gonna be like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
I just don't think he's going to play a choker right now. It's the thing.
We just dropped
Jaden Daniels.
Tampa Bay Levis. Carolina. Tampa Bay is favored by 6.5 points. Tampa Bay is really hard to predict. Bryce Young is playing better. You know, I think I'm going to go with Carolina here.
I'm right there with you. Carolina plus 6.5. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is Bryce Young still the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers next year?
Ooh.
Right now, they're picking fifth.
Yes. I actually don't like the quarterbacks in this class very much, so yes.
I think so as well. Like, he has been playing well. This past game, he had a few moments of, like, Alabama Bryce Young that I liked. And if they're playing fifth or, like, fourth or even third in this draft, I really don't see, especially with the teams like, right now, the top five draft picks are Jacksonville Jaguars, the New York Giants, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Patriots, and the Panthers. All, like, what, two of those teams are going to be picking quarterback, like, for sure, which is the Giants and the Raiders.
Yep.
You have the Jaguars in there that are sort of a wild card. You could see them move down with, like, I don't know, the Jets, for example. If they move off of Rodgers, the Jets are picking seven. There's like a real scenario in which Carolina just doesn't really have a good QB fall to them at like five or four or whatever. And like at this point, I really don't think this draft class is on that. I think you have to give another year to Bryce Young because Young, since he came back from the benching, he has been looking very good. Like at times, he's making some of the throws that we saw out of him from Alabama. I feel like as the team is getting along a bit better, the O-line is blocking a bit better, the wide receivers are developing a bit more, I feel like he's playing a bit better. So give me Carolina plus 6.5 versus a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that I think is good but isn't really great at covering by margin. Okay. The Los Angeles Rams at New Orleans Saints. The Saints off a bye are 2.5 point underdogs. I still can't trust the Saints, man. Like, Carr stinks. Give me the Rams -2.5.
You said the Rams?
Yeah, the Rams. Give me the Rams.
Give me the Saints. I think Olave is going to be back. I don't know. Is Olave going to be back? I know it's like it's either this week or next week that he's coming back.
Is he going to be back this year?
Yes.
Are we sure about that? Like, those concussions were really piling up.
They are.
I don't know, man. I don't know if he's coming back at all. Let me check if there's any sort of news about him. Well, I guess there's not really a whole lot of news. He wasn't ruled out for the season, but this is like 2 weeks ago. So, I don't know. I feel like there's some struggles in there. But he was put on IR 16 days ago. So that's 2 weeks. He's still going to be out. He's going to be out what? Do you have to sit out 4 games or is it like 4 weeks? So even if you're on bye, it counts.
No, no. That's the question. Because if it's 4 weeks, he should be back. If it's not, he's going to be back next week.
And if it's 4 weeks, he still needs to miss the Rams game. Because he has missed 10, 11, 12, and 13. But I don't think the bye counts. So he's not going to be back until Washington at the latest. At the earliest.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with New Orleans. I don't know. Gut feeling.
It could very well be because this Ram team is also kind of weird.
It's hot and it's cold.
Yeah.
So, next up, the Eagles, who you are a card-carrying member of the Hater Club on. The Ravens, who for some reason you like. Give me the Eagles. I think, in fact, here's my, I guess, hot take. This game isn't going to be close. The Eagles are going to win this like 40-24.
I don't think it's going to be close either, but I do think it's because Baltimore wins. I just want to say that I'm not actually a hater this year. I actually like the Eagles team this year. I just feel like the Ravens are. I'm not. I feel like
7-4 Ravens.
Yeah, the 7-4. I mean, they're like 2 wins behind the Philadelphia Eagles. If they win, they're like a win behind the Philadelphia Eagles. So it's not like we're talking about a 3-8 versus a 9-2. I just feel like they're similar enough to the point in which I feel like Baltimore being healthier right now, this point in the season, it's going to push them a bit over the edge. Plus,
they
again,
gave up 250 yards to Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes. That is correct.
They have to face A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith.
I'm not sure if
Devonta Smith is going to play.
I'm not sure if Devonta Smith is going to play.
And Dallas Goedert. And that's ignoring the fact that they'll have Saquon Barkley running amok.
If there's one thing that you can do on the Ravens, is run them. So I'm at least safe on that. Now, will they be able to contain A.J. Brown? We're going to figure that out, I guess. I don't think the answer is yes, but I think they'll be able to contain them enough to the point in which they'll be able to win this game. But I actually don't hate the Eagles this year. I feel like their defense has stepped up. I feel like Quinion
Mitchell.
Wouldn't
be surprised if we wake up in January. It's the NFC Conference Finals, and it's the Eagles against the Lions. Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Sure. I mean, when the Eagles have the Avengers assembled, it's quite easy for Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni to do their thing. So, and they have the Avengers this year. So, yeah, everything is easier when you have the Avengers. But give me Baltimore, -2.5. I still like Baltimore a bit more than the Eagles. Plus, I just think, like, if the Baltimore Ravens beat the Chargers the way that I think they will, this line moves towards the Ravens a bit more. So I'm just banking on that.
You and your banks. Get them out of here. Next game.
San Francisco 49ers at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are 6.5-point favorites. There's not a whole lot of sacrificing happening with the San Francisco 49ers. Actually, the only thing getting sacrificed are the Niners at this stage.
Not wrong.
Honestly, just give me Buffalo. I feel like the Niners are that one team in which until the end of the season or until they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, everyone is going to tell you. They're going to turn this around. They just need to go on the run. They're only one game behind. They're only two game behind of the division. They're going to make the playoffs. And this is going to be the chatter until the end of the season. And they're always going to be, it's always next week. It's always next week when they turn it around. I don't think they're turning it around because I don't think there's anything better than this. I feel like the injuries that they have right now, to Williams on the offensive line, Brandon Ayuk being out, and now Brock Purdy being hurt. I think he's going to play versus Buffalo, but still, I feel like the injuries on the defense as well. They've been missing a lot of players, and I just don't think that they're up to, for this. I don't think CMC's at 100%. Like, I don't even know if he's back. This looks like a different CMC. So, I don't know, man. I feel like this is just what San Francisco, this is just not there here. Unfortunately for them, or fortunately, should I say, because fuck the Niners. But yeah, give me Buffalo minus 6.5. I feel like this is just what the Niners are. They're a not so good team this year.
I hate to say it, but I think you're right. I'm going Buffalo, man. The last game, the Cleveland Browns 5.5-point favorites against the Denver Broncos. Or the Denver Broncos are 5.5-point favorites against the Cleveland Browns. Sorry. I'm used to Denver being mediocre. Huh. I don't know how to feel about this game. It's just going to be like this every week. It depends on Jameis.
It is.
Denver's defense is really solid, so I could see him struggling regardless, but you still can't ignore the fact that Cleveland or Jameis could get hot, and then Denver literally has no chance. Give me Cleveland. I like my risk.
Off, I don't know. Off a decent game versus the Steelers in which they won, I feel like it all comes crumbling down. Again, it's another spot in which I like the Broncos, in which I feel like the Broncos really aren't all that. And it's probably one of those teams that are going to make the playoffs and be completely destroyed in the first round of it, of them.
Yeah, but I
still don't think this is the game in which they get exposed. I feel like this is a game that Bo Nix handles fairly well. So give me Denver minus 5.5. I feel like we're getting bad Jameis this time around. We got decent Jameis versus the Steelers outside of the one pick. I feel like it's coming back the other way around. It's bad Jameis this week. It's blind as a bat Jameis coming back. And that's it. That's the week, all games. There's no buys this week, if I'm not mistaken. So we have the full slate of the 16 games. Next week, we're going to have more buys. And then there's that. Yeah, season is drawing to a close. That's week 13. The picks for week 13 right now. Has this season, like, flown by, or is it just me?
Yeah, it has.
It really, just like, it seems like yesterday that we were all excited about the results from week one. Like, the Saints being this juggernaut team that no one really expected. The Bengals maybe being fraud, where, well, we're still at that spot, I guess. 12 weeks later, and we're still doing the same thing. Like, I remember the Vikings beating the Giants and everyone being like, yeah, this defense is good, but they also face the Giants. Now it turns out the defense is actually good. People thinking Bo Nix was going to suck because he faced Seattle and he sucked in that game. The Niners just completely blowing up the Jets, for example, as well. The good days from week one. Oh well, how those have flown by. It's week 13. Picks in the books. Do you have anything else to add, Angelo? Or are we getting out of here?
You're getting out of here.
We're getting out of here. We'll be back on Saturday, guys. So you'll be listening to this on Tuesday, if I'm correct. So you're listening to this on Tuesday. Next year is coming out on Saturday. Stay tuned for that one. It's going to be jam-packed. I mean, we're going to talk about week 12 stuff, week 11 stuff. We're probably going to be talk a bit about the Thanksgiving games as well. So tune in for that. It's going to be a blast of a show. You're probably going to need a bit of time for that as well. So yeah, hope you enjoyed this one. Hope you enjoyed the picks. We're back this week.
sorry for anything last week, for missing last week.
It happens. We missed some great opportunity to make some great content last week, and that's
We're going to be back, though. We're making up for it. It's not going to be hot fire takes coming straight off the oven. They're going to be baked slowly.
Apparently, the Bengals have not crushed Alex's soul just yet. Apparently, it's going to take another week of watching the same shit that I've seen for the last, like, 10 weeks.
It's just another
week. To convince him that the stuff that we've been seeing for the last 10 weeks is actually the stuff that's been happening. Yeah, so
I need another week to see that.
You need another week. Okay. You need another week.
Let's see how this one goes.
You need to watch the defense blow another good Joe Burrow game to be convinced.
Yes. Okay. That's it. That's it.
Really great. Good for you. More power to you, buddy.
We're going to figure that out in a bit.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you guys. Again, if you stayed up until right now, thank you very much. If you're listening on the Apple Podcasts, if you're listening on the Spotify app, wherever you listen to your podcasts, really, just make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Make sure to leave us a comment. Make sure to leave us also like a just subscribe to the show and turn on the auto downloads as well. Really helps out the show, and it's free. So if you're listening on the YouTube, you know what you do. You've been doing it for quite a while, so thank you for that as well. And yeah, stay tuned for the Saturday show. Hope you enjoyed this one. And as always, talk to you later.
Peace out.